I hope you recognize the beginning of this passage, for it is the passage in Scripture that Jesus shared in his hometown of Nazareth. When he walked into the synagogue, they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he rolled it out to this point and read these famous words, not the entire chapter that we just shared with you, but the beginning of that, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the release of prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. This is a classic text that lays out the call and claim of God upon the prophets. When Jesus stood in the synagogue and read this passage, this was somewhat his manifesto, saying, "I am a prophet sent by God to share his good news, to share his word, to share the things that he sees that needs to be shared." 2 or 3 weeks ago, in my covenant group with other United Methodist pastors, we were talking about this commission that we have in Isaiah, that as pastors, we're called at times to be in the prophetic role. And it's not an easy place to be. It's not a place that most of us seek out. Because if you do what Jesus is talking about here, you're putting God's agenda first rather than the agenda that most people want. You know, we like the first part of this when we say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news. You know, I hear that so often from people. Well, I go to church to hear good news, hear something good. And I think we ought to come to church to hear something good occasionally. But sometimes we need to hear things we don't want to hear. And that's the word of the Lord. Sometimes the word of the Lord is a word that makes us uncomfortable, uneasy. It challenges us. And if all we hear is the good news that makes us happy, we may be off course with God. All through the Old Testament, there was this tension between the court prophets who pretty much prophesied what the government wanted, what the political in-crowd wanted, what was politically correct in their day. To get along, let's don't ruffle any feathers, let's keep everybody happy. Now, that really never means everybody. It means the people in power. The people who have the power and authority to do something if they don't like what we say. And God would go out and raise up prophets to speak his word, because those in the line of prophets and those in the family of the prophets often betrayed their calling. Jesus stood in Nazareth and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do a number of things. To proclaim, yes, the good news." But notice, Jesus says to proclaim the good news to the oppressed, to those who often have unreasonable burdens imposed upon them by others, those who are often overlooked in our society, those who are often not heard, those who are simply tolerated in the world around us, those who have no official voice, those were the people to whom he was to preach primarily the good news. To bind up the brokenhearted, the people who had kind of given up on having any hope of power or prestige or recognition in this world. People who, to the very core of their being, were just hanging on with a thread to life, to faith. to proclaim liberty to the captive. Now, certainly they knew about captivity because they had seen Israel carried away and they were facing their own imminent captivity. People who are held into subjection, taken by an enemy during war. We might say they're prisoners of war, but they're really people who are just tried to assimilate into another culture. They have to give up their own identity. And Jesus said, I am here. I'm taking up the role of the prophet to proclaim liberty to those who are in captivity. A good news, a spiritual release, that even though you're a captive in a foreign land, that you have a very special kind of freedom through Almighty God, if you'll trust that God. And to proclaim release to the prisoner, to those who were such political enemies that they were locked into dungeons and cells and guarded because their words were treason to whoever had put them there. Like John the Baptist, thrown into prison because Herod didn't want to hear his rantings and ravings that made his kingdom uneasy. Those were the kind of people Jesus and the prophets stood for. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance. That God's rule and way was coming. And to those who were faithful, it was going to be a day of God's favor. God's blessing placed upon them. But to those who were unfaithful, it was going to be a day of vengeance, a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. A day when we all have to take account for what we have done and what we have not done. The good things that we have done and the things not so good that we have done. The good things that we failed to do when we had an opportunity to do them. That to be a prophet is saying there's a judgment day coming and we're all going to be held accountable. That's the role of the prophet. That was the role Jesus took upon himself. That is the role that ministers who are ordained to the gospel should take upon themselves. And then to comfort all those who mourn, provide for those who mourn in Zion. To give them a garland, to give them that evergreen wreath that was a symbol of victory instead of ashes, which is normally what you get when you're mourning and you're sorrowing. To give them the oil of gladness, oil that meant healing and wholeness and prosperity rather than just more sorrow. To offer to them the mantle of praise when their spirits were faint. That Jesus, the prophets, and those who follow in their steps have a very special charge to look out for those who are struggling at a very basic level of life. But the good news in all of this is a blessing for us because the scripture says that we will become a planting of the Lord that we may display His glory. That God planted us here in the place where we live and where we grow to bring glory to Him. We've talked about that before. Paul lifted it up in the first chapter of Ephesians. We were created for the praise of His glory. People are supposed to look at us and our relationship with God and be glorified by being in our presence. That we're here to show forth God's great goodness in our lives. And even more, that we will be oaks of righteousness. We will be, not just ministers, that we will all be priests of the Lord God. But that means taking the risk from time to time to be a prophet. This week we remembered the beginning of World War II with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. In our modern era, we had a prophet. And that prophet was an Army air officer named Billy Mitchell. Great war hero, along with Eddie Rickenbacker of the big one, World War I, who came back to America and our air service, according to the Army and the Navy, just sat on its laurels. We had 1,800 airplanes, but only 9 were serviceable if we needed them and were attacked. And Billy Mitchell became the prophet of air travel and air defense in our nation, and it was an unpopular position to take. No one had ever flown nonstop across the Atlantic, much less the Pacific Ocean. But here was a visionary man who was saying, if we're going to have a future as a nation, we have got to go to an air defense and offense system. And when he spoke one time too often among the bureaucrats, he was demoted and sent as far away from Washington to D.C. as they could send him. They sent him down to a base in Texas. He was in the Army Air Corps. But he just pounded them with letters talking about this new way to defend America, and no one wanted to listen. The public was interested, but not the officials in the War Department. A few congressmen were, but generally not enough to change things. 1924, he was sent on a mission out to the Pacific to evaluate our situation in case of an attack from some other nation. And he predicted that we would be attacked by Japan, how we would be attacked, and no one listened. This was the ravings of a madman in 1925. He also predicted some other kind of amazing things. As far back as 1913, he said, the Japanese are likely to be our next enemy, and no one listened. Except a Japanese diplomat who said in 1921, should there be such a war, America would have to fight it a long way from home. It would be gravely embarrassing to the American people if the ideas of your General Mitchell were more appreciated in Japan than in the United States. Finally, after a number of his comrades were killed because of neglect, he made a bold statement to the press that said, these accidents are the direct result of incompetency, criminal negligence, and almost treasonable administration of the national defense by the Navy and the War Departments, and they court-martialed him. Just as Jesus was rejected in Nazareth because they said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have been anointed to preach the good news. Billy Mitchell was not listened to. At his court-martial, he shared crazy ideas that were totally rejected. Crazy ideas that there might be aircraft carriers capable of carrying 100 bombers or pursuit aircraft, a gliding bomb that would be launched from airplanes and then guided for up to 10 miles to its target. Crazy enough to believe in winged bombs with accurate controls to target acquisitions. Crazy enough to believe a program to train and grade aviation mechanics for military service. A meteorological service to track weather patterns for aviation. Amphibious airplanes for rescue. Crazy enough to believe that all metal bombers and bombers with as many as 4 engines would be invented. A defense strategy for the Pacific based on out of Alaska and supported by a strong Air Force. Development of instruments to enable aircraft to fly in fog. Bombers with a range of 1,000 miles capable of crossing either ocean that framed the United States. And crazy enough to believe observation planes that fly as high as 30,000 feet. The ravings of a madman. a prophet. And America didn't listen. And on December 7th, 1941, the price was paid. See, in our own history, we know about prophecy. Billy Mitchell was a prophet. And like most prophets and pastors who move into that role occasionally, they're seldom listened to and always unpopular for it. But when the prophets and Jesus and pastors through the century take up the claim, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the oppressed, to set at liberty the captives, to free the prisoners, to reach out to those who mourn, to take care of those who are at the bottom of society, knowing that if you do that, you're taking care of everyone." Have we accepted our call to listen to the claims of the prophets through the ages? Are we glorifying God by our responses? As we light these candles each Sunday of Advent, we look at prophecy that reminds us that we often get warnings, like the warnings of Billy Mitchell, and we'd rather stay in our comfort zones than hear the words of prophets and change the way we live. Are we glorifying God? Are we a planting of a mighty oak in our society? Are we God's priest in the world today? Only you can answer that for yourself. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we'd rather hear words that make us feel good than words that make us uncomfortable. And yet, when Jesus was standing on the Mount of Olives looking down into the city of Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not have it, because down through the ages you have killed the prophets when they shared the word of the Lord." May this season, as we prepare a way for the Lord, may we hear the words that make us uncomfortable. Uncomfortable enough to change our lives, to be the people you want us to be, for each of us as Christians to take on the role of being priests to the world and glorifying you by how we live out the Christian faith. Give us new insight, new hope, and new vision for what you can do if we allow you to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our lives. May that anointing be upon us, and may your Holy Spirit use us to bring glory to your name, now and forever. Amen.